All right, guys. Hopefully, we've got ourselves together a little bit more. The past week's been rough. The past week has been a very, very strange one with how do you react emotionally to your team being goddamn awful? Now, there's a few things I'm going to put into perspective here because I've had an epiphany. And if you guys have been here for my epiphanies before, you're going to want to stick around for it. But look, a big episode coming up. We've got Peter from The Crowject coming on. We're going to cut to that interview very, very shortly. A very exciting live team reaction this week. There's some big changes I want to see. There's some schemes I want to see changed because I'm a great coach, clearly. Yeah, and then I'm going to sort of explain what my epiphany is and hopefully put a little bit of context onto maybe it's not quite as bad as it feels right now. So we're going to cut to Peter now, and then we're going to do epiphany, what I want to change, and then we'll react to the live team changes. And Anzac Day has been played already, so maybe we'll chat about the draw that just happened. Anyway, I'm going to throw it over to Peter and myself. What a great interview. It really, really was. What a great guy he is. And yeah, they're doing great things with Crom and all that sort of stuff over there. So enjoy the interview with Peter and myself, and I'll see you back here very soon. All right, guys, welcome back to another preview podcast, podcasting royalty from over the border this week. We've got Peter from The Crowject. Welcome and thank you for jumping on the podcast, mate.
Hey, Josh, thank you so much for letting me be on your amazing podcast too. And
you're too kind, mate. You're too kind.
Yeah, well, misery likes company, doesn't it?
Oh, dear. Too soon, mate. Let me grieve, you know, let me grieve.
No, pleasure to be on here.
Let everyone know who's listening exactly where to find you guys, what you do. And I've got some questions. I want to know what the thing behind Crom is, but give us a little bit of insight into the pod.
All right. So look, like I said, like Josh said, I'm Peter. So I do the Crowject podcast, and we've been going since 2018. So we've done about, I think all up, about 350 odd episodes all up, half a million odd downloads or so. We've got a huge Patreon base as well. So shout out to our patrons, patreon.com/Crowject if you want to join in there. I'm sure we're catering to a huge audience here on a North Melbourne.
Well, look, there's
pod.
A few supporters who might be looking for a new club soon, mate, so you never know.
Look, it'd be like moving from Scotland to New Zealand. It's a different hemisphere, but it's the same crap. the other thing too, you know, we do the Go Crom merch, the club love what we do. We've raised just over 30 grand, raised and donated just over 30 grand for charity. And basically just shitposted our way to sort of folklore with the club because, as the Port people would like to let us know, we were born out of a courtroom and nothing breeds culture like a courtroom, huh? So,
well, absolutely. Yeah. You don't have to ask my thoughts on Port Adelaide and their fans. Look, if I was going to pick a side of Adelaide, I'd be Crom all the way, as you know. So,
hell yeah.
Us North fans will definitely side with the Adelaide Crows over that mob who prison bar Guernsey. I mean, it's ridiculous. So, bring the lightning bolts back. I say, Warren Treadway, we miss you.
Yeah, look, the old prison bars Guernsey. We've needled Port with our Garden Stakes Guernsey, which is just a direct piss take of that. And shout out to Dan and all the guys at Adelaide Mail, which is a satirical website. We raised, I think, about $7,000. And that's a part of that 30 grand cohort for Catherine House, which is a domestic violence shelter in Adelaide. And at the same time, pissed off a whole bunch of Port fans because that's the best part, celebrating their history by making them extremely angry.
And that's the best way to do it. And what a celebration, I'm sure it was. So give me some insight on Crom, mate. I need to know because we've got room over here, but what's going on with Crom?
Yeah, look, Crom has a long and storied history. All it was is a boomer in 2015 misspelled Crows on Facebook. So she just said, I think it was go the mighty Crom instead of Crows. And I can say hand on heart, since I think the misery of 2018, 19 and 20 sort of came of that, the the genesis of the GoCrom movement. The shout out to the guys from Fuppy Posting as well. These were the guys that sort of drove it a lot. And Mitchell is one of the former admins on there, created the logo. And as he said, it looks shit. And I was just like, I love it. So let's go
perfect.
With it. We did a first run of 50 beanies. They sold within half an hour. And I think we've sold about 5,000 so far. And it's become synonymous with the club. And I think, I don't know if I'm mentioning an enemy here of you guys, but North Melbourne closer to a flag.
No, we love that. They're part of the podcast.
Oh, good. Fantastic.
I thank them for a lot of things. We do a lot of stuff together and I love those guys. They're brilliant dudes. We even did a Tassie trip together to watch North play Port Adelaide last year.
They're brilliant guys. We had a lot of camaraderie with them as well. And we were talking at one point about doing beanies for them too. I think it's sort of that collectivization of, look, we have a separate identity. And I want to be clear as well. There are a lot of Adelaide Football Club fans that hate the name GoCrom.
Yeah.
They think it's like a saying to pear, like Port Pear, like pears. Yeah. I don't know. But look, you can like it, you can hate it. It's whatever you want it to be. Some people like Carlton. I don't know.
Yeah, so, doesn't make sense, though, does it?
Does not make sense. You know, you haven't done it. Well, some people like Essendon who haven't won anything since, 2004. At least we won a final. I wonder. You guys have as well. So
feels like a long
time
ago.
The thing though is, look, it's a bunch of fun, and I can say
for sure
that. The guys and girls that are on the pod, I've created a, however, look, they're rolling things along at an amazing pace. We've had a whole bunch of interviews. A collective hero of our clubs, Malcolm Blight, we interviewed a few years ago as well. We do a whole bunch, and I think it's great as well to see other pods like yourself and you and Marnie sort of cracking on with things. I saw your live that you did
in
January as well.
Late Feb, I think it was, yeah.
Oh, late Feb, sorry. Yeah, look, it's a sort of thing, doing live events. We do our draft night live, which has become a staple of ours. I think last year I sat for 4 hours in total hosting that. That's not my job. However... It's something I got up and I could, my bum was numb. So
and you'll be able to talk about it for the rest of your life, mate. You'll always have that.
Yeah, the memories of the kid doing certain gestures on draft night that had us all shook. Anyway.
What a time and a place. The kids these days won't understand. So
No.
But no, I sympathize with the people loving and hating it. Like I love Room. When I met the Close to a Flag guys, I got behind it and they do great things for the club. And I'm lucky to even be alongside those guys, not officially or anything like that, but just knowing them and getting to interact with them and doing some stuff together is fantastic. So it engages a younger fan base that is needed for the future. So North Melbourne's been really good to us so far as well. Hopefully more as we go along, I do understand that point of view, which is great.
No, it's a good point you make about younger fans too. I think the term Crom has become, GoCrom has become synonymous with a lot of younger fans.
Yeah.
We had to trademark the logo. I had to create a company and trademark the logo just to stop people from plagiarizing it. I mean, we donate so much from it. We didn't want it to sort of go down the realm of people just commercializing it. For that reason. Now, GoCrom is just a term, but it's more the logo, that sort of thing. So people see it. And if you go to Crows games, even interstate as well, you'll probably see some in Tasmania.
Yeah.
I saw a lady in 2021. She was wearing, her and her hubby were wearing GoCrom beanies in Cairns.
Wow.
Not the best weather.
This thing's worldwide, mate.
It actually is. We get videos that someone was at King Charles coronation and
unreal.
Took a photo
That's
of themselves
awesome.
In a GoCrom beanie, and shout out to Paul Wood for that, because I was just like, that's amazing.
This is next level.
Why?
Adelaide is the world's AFL team. I did not know that until this moment, but here we are.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, look, we've got a massive game coming up. Let's get into that. A huge clash down in Tasmania, my home state. Which I evacuated, but kind of wish I was still there sometimes. Look, how are you feeling about this game coming up. Clearly, North Melbourne is in a little bit of trouble right now. It's probably what I described, and accurately so, as our darkest day for 20 years on the weekend. I've never seen more outrage and loss of hope in our club. How are you feeling about the game on the weekend? I know that you want to be cautious and not say it's going to be a percentage booster, but tell me how you're feeling about the Crows, about North, and about the game.
Here's the thing, mate. We don't play well in Tasmania.
We don't play well.
I remember a very famous game in 2017 where the Crows were up and about. I think we were close to top of the ladder, and North Melbourne came out. And
Did you guys score in the first quarter or something?
Yeah, you kicked 10 goals for, and we kicked, as my grandparents would say, mungunul katsu, which is fucking nothing. don't know if I can swear, but there you go.
You can go for it, mate. Unleash.
Give it a good fuck. Anyway, you did that. And all I remember was I was actually driving to work at the time, and I just put a podcast on. I can't remember what it was. And I got to work, and you know that period where your Bluetooth disconnects or you disconnect your thing? I heard the 5AA call and Rowie just saying, 10-4, what is going on? And he was right. So anytime we travel to Tasmania, I have a sense of fear in my heart because last year we only beat Hawks by 3 points from memory. I can say hand on heart, we are in a collective race to the bottom. You're at the bottom and we're coming for you. So I have no faith whatsoever.
Hang out with us down there, mate.
Yeah. Misery likes company. The title of tonight's pod, if you like. But seriously, it's one of those things. I'm just going to bring up AFL tables in a second because seriously, I have no faith in us whatsoever because it's just there's no sort of belief even in the fan base, like you said.
What do you think about North at the moment, though? Because that the last 2 weeks, last 3 weeks, the two 70-point thrashings, Clarkson saying we need a response and coming out against a group of infant children in Hawthorn and performing like we did was nothing short of pathetic, to be honest with you. Surely, not that I've ever been on the other side of this, but surely you've got some sort of faith that we are so diabolically bad at the moment that you guys could field your twos and still get the job done.
Maybe. And to be honest, at the present time, I may have more faith in our twos than our current.
Because we were only a couple of years off prelim final appearances when we did that as well. We had prime Zeeble and Cunnington, Higgins, Goldstein, maybe Jared Waite was Ben Brown. It's a very, very, very lackluster team now. So, look, I appreciate you saying you're scared and it does make me feel a little bit better about the situation, but I'm terrified for the score that could be put up against us this weekend.
Yeah, look, I mean, I see here. where are we playing at, by the way?
Blunston Arena.
Which is Belreeve Oval, correct?
Belreeve, yes. Sorry, I'm using local lingo.
No, that's okay. And I'm aware that in 2022, we came out and, we did well against you in 58-point win there. However, that's our only win at that ground. We've lost three.
Yes. Look,
1-1, lost 3.
I don't think there's a stat on this planet that could make me believe that we have a chance this weekend after last week's performance, though. So, I love where you're coming out here. I love you bringing me stats. I'm as aroused as I'll ever be on a podcast, mate. But we are that Melbourne team of 2011 or 12. I think beats us at the moment, and I know I'm being very negative, and I know that it's probably
They were tanking. They were tanking as well, Josh.
Well, they were tanking, and we didn't tank and missed out on a star. But I think we should have won that game. Any North fans, don't get too angry at me. I think Marnie is completely correct when she said that game probably got Larky's All-Australian, got Sheasley's best and fairest, and sets club culture. Not that that's really carried into this season, but I do not regret what we did. But I just don't see any area of the ground this weekend where we can beat you guys. Tex could kick 10+. I really rate Charlie Comben as a defender. He's a podcast favorite, came on the live show and has been so good to this podcast. And look, am I a little bit biased? Potentially, but I think he's been phenomenal down in the back line and one of the only rays of of light down there. Our forward line, I think, is arguably our best line this year with Ford, Curtis and Larky playing decently well. Larky's had a slow start, but good game last week and is still kicking one or two a week. The midfield's been diabolical, and that this is meant to be our area of expertise. Like I said to you, we got bullied by a bunch of high school kids, basically. John Newcomb's had a horrific start to the year. I honestly couldn't even tell you who else plays in the midfield for Hawthorn. They're that young. And we had a guy in LDU who racked up, 10-plus Brownlow votes last year and is meant to be an A-grader who has done nothing this season to be and looks disinterested, to be honest with you. So I don't really see any way we can unravel the Crows. I guess the only thing I can think of is if we just play all out North ball and hope that the Crows don't know how to kick into their forward 50. Other than that, I don't know what else I see happening.
I mean, Josh, you make a good point about, you know, hope the Crows can't kick into our forward 50, and we don't know how to. We've gone from being the highest scoring team in 2023 to being dead last.
True.
Now, can you think of any team that's gone from first to last in a key stat, like legitimately?
No, absolutely.
I don't know. And that's been on our talkback radio here. Roy's been waxing lyrical about that on 5AA. Post-game calls, by the way, I would highly recommend everyone. This isn't a plug for 5AA, but seriously, when our local teams lose, we go mental on 088-233-0000. Is the sports line number there. Because genuinely, our strength, honestly, is our defense, right? And that sort of flipped the script for where it was last year. And look, we've got Max Mike Laney and we've got Josh Worrell in our back line who are having phenomenal years. Mark Keane as well, he's our Irish recruit. And honestly, he's probably been one of our most consistent players for this year, which is saying something that he's, you know, this time last year, he didn't really play AFL all that much. So he's sort of come into the squad. Our defense genuinely is probably our best line. It's our sort of getting the ball from our defense forward. We spend a lot of time sort of stopping, propping, waiting, and that time is enough for you guys to sort of fill in the gaps there. And that's happened so much. And I was at the Essendon game. I can say hand on heart, it was very, very frustrating seeing how many opportunities we wasted. Yes, there was the shocking umpiring decision by number 26.
Was it holding the ball? Of course it was holding the ball.
It was holding the ball. And yeah, of course it was. One of our co-hosts, Leighton, he's a very good friend of mine. I went to the game with him. It was our second game that we'd gone to together. And the last game we'd gone to before that one was the Sydney game last year. And I said to him as we sat down, haha, I hope this doesn't come down to another bloody umpiring decision, Leighton, you dog. Next minute, 120 minutes later of playing time.
So it's your fault. That's what you're telling me.
Correct. Yes. So I'll put it all on myself. We were, you know, the term, you know, right in front of me, that's gone down in infamy. It actually genuinely did happen right in front of us. And it would have been paid any other point of the ground.
But yeah, absolutely.
26 had an absolute mare. And that was one of the worst umpiring displays. And I want to be clear. Crow's got some absolute stinker of freeze for us, like that we just could not compute with.
It's the moment in the game, though, isn't it? It's coming down to that moment is the disappointing thing.
Yeah. If you're going to put the P away, so be it. But, like, seriously, I look at, you know, the strengths of your squad versus our strengths as well. And it's, you know, it's a immovable object versus unstoppable force to a certain extent. But I'm more worried about the flip side of things, honestly. Well, it's, sorry.
No. Look, it's the one thing I would say is I think against Carlton, this was really showing against us, where even if you can't move the ball into your 50 efficiently, kicking it long into our defensive 50 works. Tex Walker will eat alive whoever is on. If you just isolate him marginally and kick the ball long and hack kick it forward, he will find a way to make it work against our defense. I'm really interested to see. They don't really put Charlie Comben directly on a Tex or someone big like that. I would have thought he would be on Chole a little bit more last week, but really wasn't. He sort of is. We only have intercept defenders. We don't have a one-on-one defender. Biggie Newen was atrocious.
Well, you guys are going to have a big day then.
Well, yeah. All the Crows have to do is, even if you send a Torp from the back flank into your forward 50, if it's remotely in Tex Walker's vicinity, he's probably going to take the mark. I don't see an area of this ground where we can really really get to you. What do you think, if anything, is North Melbourne's strength? What is it? Is it, have you got any idea of an area where we might be able to, you know, take advantage of the Crows?
One word, rebound.
Is that something we're meant to be good at, but we've really not been?
I understand. I get the feeling that, to be honest, North played out of their skin, and I get the feeling there was a bit of coach's animosity that may have fueled that, and you do see that a lot. I would expect Hawthorn to drop off spectacularly this week, because there's always that emotional, change that can happen, and this is something that we see a lot. And I'll give a good example here: Port leading into any showdown, any showdown where they need a response, they've had a loss the week before. Ken Hinckley always revs up, you know, some, you know, sniper like Sam Powell Pepe, who'll come out in the first quarter, try to hurt someone, that sort of thing. As soon as that happens, you know they're spent. They're emotionally spent because they're expecting to just get on top to begin with. They come out with that clout and bravado. That does not work. So when it comes to a rebound effect, I would be expecting that this week from you guys in a massive way. Compared to us, where we have, it's no other way to put it, we've been edged. Essentially, we've come, the only game where we've like truly had a complete drop off from start to finish was the Geelong game in round two. But at the same time, you got to think to yourself, okay, what next? Like, how can you rev up a group after a very narrow loss, and your one of your key forwards in Josh Rochelle has been absolutely eviscerated on you know, the platform formerly known as Twitter, for his two misses and two easy marks he didn't get, despite the fact that, to be perfectly honest, the rest of the game he played pretty bloody well. And he had to come out in the media and try to address that. That puts a certain level of doubt into very young minds. So I would expect that emotionally, as weird as this sounds, there is, I personally think that, and I'm not saying this just because I'm on a North pod, I actually genuinely think there's a fair amount of hope for you guys, because there is an expectation of a rebound effect, and you guys came into, to be honest, an emotionally scorned coach in Sam Mitchell, and I think he came out to perform.
It's a very interesting way to put it. I haven't thought about it like that before. And look, Clarkson in his press conference did talk about, you know, rebounding from our awful Geelong and Brisbane losses, and they came out in that sort of manner, and that's probably the most disappointing thing to me.
Yeah, but you've got to mitigate it, Josh. You've got to mitigate it though, mate. Like, you know, Geelong are top of the tape, right?
Absolutely. Or close to, or whatever. It was the lack of response and fight though that hurt me. And you know, this week, if there's no response this week, there's no pulse. And that's kind of the way I feel about it. And a lot of North fans feel about it right now. Like I said to you, I was embarrassed to be a North Melbourne fan walking out of that ground. And I don't say that super lightly. I love this club and I've followed my whole life, but I was so embarrassed. Being a barber, everyone knows me as a North Melbourne fan. You know, some fantastic listeners of this podcast come in and see me now, and you know, it's great, but I talk so much footy at work and it's been so hard to talk about this, and just the embarrassment and the shame I felt having that sort of performance put on display in a do or die game against an equally awful team just really disappointed everybody. And I've never seen the fan base, not even David Noble era, have I seen the fan base this dejected and angry. They were disappointed. They were distant, but it's different now. So I the only rally cry I can give to some North fans here is if there is no response this week, I don't know what to tell anybody. Where they need to respond. And it doesn't necessarily mean win, but we need to turn up, we need to fight, and they need to find a way to show us that as a fan base, because we will start dropping off. Rightly or wrongly, people can have their opinions on that, but people will start dropping off and disengaging with performances like that. If we lost by a goal or two goals to the Hawks, but we fought the whole day, we put tackles in, we were pressuring, we wouldn't have cared. We would have been upset. We would have got over it, and we would have been like, look, we nearly matched them. We should have beaten them, but at least we fought to the end, and we didn't do that. It was 45 points, mate, which is disgusting. Yeah. So, look, the only thing I can say to the North fans is If there's no response this week, I don't know what to tell you, but I've got to back them, even though I don't trust it, that we're going to come out and do something. But I couldn't tell you what that's going to be.
Look, I think you made a great point about the worst thing that as a club you can sense in your collective fan base is apathy. And to be perfectly honest, I think both of our clubs are at that point.
Talk to me a bit about Adelaide then. Like, how are you guys feeling with the start of the season?
Look, there is a lot of apathy. There is genuinely a lot of people just saying, why do I bother doing this? And I think it comes at a time where a lot of people are, you know, reconsidering where they're actually spending their entertainment money as well. Like, I know probably 9 or 10 people who are, you know, fans of, you know, our pod, but also they're people that they're not the sort of ones to jump off quickly, you know. They'll hang out, and they've cancelled their memberships for this year because they're just like, I'll just get on there next year. Why do I bother? Why should I keep paying, you know, that, you know, easy pay or whatever they use, that sort of thing.
Yeah, for sure.
And you think to yourself, okay, as a, like our club, we're looking to build a headquarters. You know, there are a lot of changes off the field. You know, we have a phenomenal AFL women's team, as you guys do as well.
Yeah.
And a program there that's been there. I think you guys have been from the start in 2017. I can't remember off the top of my head.
But maybe not the start. No, we came a little bit later.
Okay. But regardless, there's you know, a meshed culture there, which is great. However, apathy can kill. It can really cause issues if you, like, I know the socials guys at the Crows, and you know, they've talked about how rough it is after a loss or even selections, and you know, the sort of abuse that they get that I think is completely unfair. Because, and this is a secret between you and me, Josh, the socials teams don't control selections. Now I'm just putting it out there.
What?
Shocking. No.
You heard it first on the Further North podcast.
This is an exclusive. Yeah, so feel free to, you know, at your favorite club and apologize or don't. It's up to you. But there are real people behind it, I think, you know, and that's the thing. Apathy kills. And I know you guys have gone through, you know, a phenomenal amount of turmoil from an off-field point of view, as we have as well. I can't tell you how hard it was to sort of hear some of the things that did go on, you know, that infamous camp after 2017. Yeah. There's been some inside stuff that I've heard as well. That's like properly, like as a clinician myself, I think that's, you know, that's negligence, you know, and all the things that have come out about collective mind since that point, which is just absolutely shocking, but not surprising. And you know, there's so many things. I know you guys have gone through that too with Clarko and everything, you know, from his past, that sort of thing, but you're right. You know, where's the pulse? Where does it come from? And, you know, after our round one loss to Gold Coast, we re-signed Nixie. That was inevitable. But now people are saying, okay, we need to sack Nix. Okay, but is it his supporting cast? I think it is. I think that's been a big problem at the moment. Our assistant coaches are not performing, unfortunately. And I think it's really affected the players. Because let's put it this way, they're 18 to 35-year-old men. I don't know how old you are, Josh, but I'm right on the precipice of falling off that age category, and all I can say is we are stupid. So when it comes to, you know, being led, that sort of thing, if you don't look good or feel good or anything else like that, and yeah, Guernsey's look good, but we aren't feeling good right now.
Yeah, so it's interesting because I would have thought there'd be a little bit more. We can get this back on track and make a push for the finals after the Carlton result, which is a phenomenal win. And look, I know the Essendon game was probably overshadowed by the final decision, but you still really took it up to them and played fairly well. So look, it's interesting, but I think you're right. Like, fans are more connected than a lot of people maybe think sometimes, and not everybody, people support it in their own ways, but a lot of us do feel like we're part of this club, especially a North Melbourne. I can speak from being a smaller club and how much they're willing to engage with their fan base, unlike a Collingwood, or because they don't really have to, right? But you know, this stuff affects us too, and maybe not as much as anyone directly involved, but it hurts, and you want to feel like you're part of something, and you want to feel like you're heard. And I'm lucky enough like you to have a platform where we can do that. And I try to get people's voices heard on this as much as possible, as I'm sure you do too. Yep. But you know, it's You've put your club really does affect your day-to-day and your surroundings a little bit. Like I said, I've never felt so embarrassed and dejected after a game of football in my life. I felt empty. And I was almost surprised with how I did feel after that game. You know, Marnie just trying to console me in the stadium because I was just so flat, and I've barely felt like that before. And it's interesting to me as a fairly, I like to think a fairly self-aware person that it's interesting that a club can have that effect on me sometimes, and I feel better. I've learned not to podcast on the day of the games, but it's very, very.
That's a great tip. I completely agree.
Yeah, I did that against the Giants. I said some bad things about Toby Pink, which I don't think were wrong, but unfair because it was his first game in the AFL. But look,
you know, it's interesting. You mentioned that, Josh. I do the walk and talk straight after the game, so literally straight after the game.
Yeah, wow.
But it's not me giving the opinions. It's more people letting out their frustrations. Yeah. And that's on our YouTube channel. It's similar to what, the besties do, that sort of thing. We've been doing it for the last 4 years or so. And I can say, hand on heart, I think it's cathartic for some fans. But at the same time, for me, it's also good to sort of see, you know, other people give a shit as well. And I think that's a part of, you know, what you and Marnie do brilliantly.
The more passionate you are, the more you're going to explode and go over the top.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, let's wrap this thing up. Give me a prediction and a tip.
Okay. So who wins and how many?
Yeah.
Despite my absolute pessimism, I do think the Crows are going to win, but it's going to be very close. I haven't had a chance to look at the weather, actually. That's my shtick on the pod, actually. But I do think it's going to be probably the Crows by like four.
Four points or four goals?
Four points. And the reason I say that is because, first off, we play crap in Tasmania. Mm. I do think there's going to be a rebound from you guys. I appreciate what you've said, Josh, and I think you speak on behalf of a lot of fans about that. But I genuinely do think you came into the Taylor Swift of coaches who was just scorned and, you know, has released the aggressive album against you guys. So I do think there's a huge element of that. So, it's Saturday, isn't it? Correct?
It's Saturday 1:30, I think. I think it's, I've got the Launceston weather here because I'm from Launceston. It's only a couple of hours away, I'd say. So it's meant to be 16 degrees and sunny. Yeah. Sorry, cloudy. So, all right, 4 points. That blows my mind. I am going to tip with my head here. My heart says we'll come out and put in a performance and maybe within a couple of goals, but realistically, I think we're looking at a 40-odd point differential here. I don't trust the club to fight back at the moment, and I want them to prove that to me because I want so badly to trust them and believe in them. But they really burnt that last week from me. So, look, my head says the Crows fairly convincingly. We make a late run and maybe get it back to 40-odd. That would be my tip if I'm tipping with my head. My heart says we come out, we fight, we show that we've got something here, and it's a couple of goals. I don't think we win anyway, but unfortunately, I can't see it being a closer score, but I would love nothing more than for me to look like an absolute fool where we do something and pull it out of the hat. But I've got to go realistic here. Everyone knows I'm the realistic one and Marnie's the delusional one on the pod, and that's the best Jekyll and Hyde combination anyone could want.
You should have told me that. I would have been a bit more delulu, like to sort of represent Marnie.
Look, we like a down-to-earth adult discussion sometimes on this podcast. And we'll see how we go. Well, look, good luck for the game, mate. We'll communicate after the game and we'll see. One of us will have a mental health check, which is important. But if there's anything you want to quickly plug or let everyone know where to find you before you head off, feel free.
Yeah, so look, crowject.bigcartel.com is where to get the beanies. We're doing a merch pack at the moment that's, I think, $60, including shipping. And look, even if you're not, you might be a North Melbourne fan, but if you just want to go to Rivet to, Port's playing, that sort of thing. Where you go, Cromstar?
Perfect
please.
Angle, actually, for this podcast. Yeah.
You want the money. And don't give it to the club, even though we help the club anyway with Rainbow Crows and a bunch of other stuff. So, look. Please check us out on YouTube as well. And Yeah, there's a whole bunch of us on there as well, and they all do a phenomenal job. I could say hand on heart, it's an amazing community that we've built, and as you guys have too. So
Absolutely. No.
you and Marnie should be very proud of what you guys do, genuinely.
Look, thank you, mate. I appreciate that. We are, and you know, we've been very thankful the last few weeks for people's responses to the episodes of the beltings and the disappointing day we had last weekend. But the one thing we have been very happy with is people's response and the messages they've sent us to say they resonate with it, because that's all we're really trying to do at the moment. So no, look, we've both got fantastic fan bases, passionate, and that's what we love about them sometimes. Yeah. And sometimes we need to escape it. But look, thank you for coming on. We'll talk very soon, and good luck, but hopefully not too much on the weekend, mate. Thank you for coming on.
No, all good. Thanks, Josh. Thanks.
Thank you very much to Peter once again for coming on. Yeah, really great guy. Great to chat to. Not as confident in the Crows as I thought they might be after that Carlton win, but look, a great person. And if you guys do want to get behind anything other than North Melbourne, don't know why you would from this page, but hey, interact with what they do. Go and listen to some of their stuff. Great insight. And they've really, what they've done is very similar to what I'm trying to do here. They're years and years and years in. All the great stuff you said about the merch and the donations and that sort of stuff would be something I would love to do one day. So great stuff. All right. What we're going to do, we're going to go into my epiphany and then it's not even an epiphany. And then we'll go into team changes. So look, I've had a chat to a few D's fans this week, and I think I mirror most of the fan base here when I say that this is probably the worst we've ever felt. Definitely since Noble, but like this to me kind of feels worse than David Noble, because with Noble we didn't even have hope. And now with Clarkson we had hope and it feels like it's been taken away, right? So I was talking to a few D's fans throughout the week, and they're really the only fan base bar Richmond, maybe not to the degree we are, but Richmond, maybe Carlton, but once again, never quite to the degree. But Melbourne's the most accurate, close representation of where we are now, right? The D's through the late 2000s and 2010s. So I was talking to them and I asked multiple D's fans this question to make sure I got a similar answer. And what they said was basically, I said, when were you guys bad? What years? What was the first year you were god awful? And when was the year that you felt it start to really turn, or you actually got finals or like a challenge or something like that? And what most of them told me were 2007 was the first year they felt like they were genuine bottom of the barrel rubbish. And not until about 2017 did they really feel like they're here, they're back, it's fun, let's go. I also asked, when did you draft Petrarca, Olivers, Gorns, that sort of stuff? I don't remember the exact years, but I'm pretty sure Petrarca was like 2014 or something like that, and did take years, like an LDU, took a few years to come on. We're 5 years into this, and it's bad. Don't get me wrong. 5 years of junk is very, very, very difficult. But if we are going to compare to other teams who have been in this spot, we've got another 5 years until we get to that point where the demons are. Now, the media at the moment and Fox Footy Cycle, some of the things I've read, just it's doomsday, right? And it's not saying it's not, but what I'm saying is they're always going to make it feel as bad as humanly possible. And we know that. It's not their fault, because we know they're going to do that. It's on us to not consume it. And if we do consume it, be able to rationalize it a little bit. Okay? I just think we're at the lowest point right now, but we've got our Petrarca in Sheasel. We've got our Oliver in Wardlaw. Adding anything else on top of that, McKercher obviously had a little bit of a, not a breakout game on the weekend, but, you know, he really showed some really good flashes. Dersma, we're waiting for him to explode. You know, we've still got Larky there signed up. I know Simkin hasn't started well, but he wants to commit to this club. Chom down back, I'll talk about this guy all day, you know. We do have pillars here. And we all said to ourselves that this is going to be a long rebuild. And we've all said to ourselves the rebuild started when Clarkson walked through the door. Now, that rebuild was halted for a little bit of time because of all of Hawthorn and their issues. So realistically, he's 12 months, if not less, into this rebuild. we've all said to ourselves, the rebuild starts when Clarkson comes in, the 4 years before we have to put behind us. But the way we're acting, and rightly so, we haven't. We're not acting like it is put behind us. So hopefully we can all understand that in that train of the Demons and the Tigers being bad for a decade, we're not there yet. Are we on trajectory to do so? Yes. But it doesn't mean we can't change and turn it around. I think we all agree that we don't think there's no future, even though I may have said that and I think a lot of us feel that way. But realistically, when we take a step back, there's a future here. We are going to be good one day. Is that 2, 5, 10 years? We don't know. So, look, that's all I really wanted to share. It was really very interesting to see the timeline of the D's with, you know, having a genuine 10 years of being really bad and picking up some of their key players right in the middle, if not slightly later towards the end of that turn. And we've only really just picked up, you know, McKercher, Wardlaw, Dersma, Schiesel, that sort of stuff. So, look, it's bad right now, but there is hope. And hopefully putting it in context like that makes everyone feel a little bit better. All right, let's move on. So, team changes. I want to see some massive team changes this week. Do I think Clarkson will make massive team changes? No, I do not. But this is what I would want to see. Now, I haven't looked at the team yet. I'm going to react to the team in a couple of minutes. I've never been so excited and nervous for a team selection in my life. I want to see things like Archers. We know Riley Hardiman is playing. We'll talk about that in a second. You know, and I said this on the podcast last week, after the game. I want to see Archers, Hardimans, Bergmans, defensive-minded players all in this back 50. I'm over Scotts, Schiesels, McKerchers, Fishers, all playing in the back line when they're not defensive players. We need to push those guys up the ground more, and we need just defenders in the back line. I know it's not exactly the way we want to play, and I know Marnie and me sort of slightly disagree on this, but North ball for me does not get played in the back 50. It can't. And it's shown to not work. Yes, forward of the ball a little bit more, it looks okay sometimes. But we need to readjust this thing. I don't think we go back to North ball for the whole ground. Miller Bergman is a fantastic kick of the ball. He was well over 80% every game he played last year. He's a little bit of a bigger body, defensive minded. You know, even if one of Schiesel, you know, McKercher, Fisher, like if Fisher and Bergman were off that back line and push all these other guys up forward, not in the forward line, but especially Bailey Scott, get this guy forward more, we can actually use this North ball thing. What I think happens a lot of the time is Schiesel kicks out of the back pocket, he kicks it over all of these running half backs to the wing, and then we've got no one to take the contested mark, and it bounces back over your Fishers, your McKerchers, you know, your Scott's heads. And it's straight back into the back, you know, in our defensive goal square. And it's a mark more than often, you know what I mean? It's like the ball is skipping these players we want to be transitioning the ball. I know it's not that simple, but I feel like a lot of the time it kind of is what's happening. What I would love to see is that control, short chipping, you know, around the back flank area until we see an opportunity and we go, bang, time for North ball. That's what I want to see, okay? As for changes elsewhere other than the back line, you know, I don't really know, to be honest. Like Shields and Greenwood I'd love to see in just for leadership. Greenwood especially, one of those guys has to come in, but Greenwood's probably a better player than Liam Shields. Well, he is. He can back up in the ruck. I don't want to see Larky in the ruck anymore. I don't know what to do with the Darcy Tucker. Like, he's not playing badly, but I just don't see where he fits in. Dylan Stevens has been incredibly underwhelming, but I still really trust him when he's got the ball in his hands. The problem with him is he doesn't get the ball. Is this a circumstance of playing on the wing where the ball doesn't really get to unless it's a long kick up the line? I kind of think so. So Dylan Stevens, when he's running with the ball and he's foot by foot, I do trust. I'm not saying he's had every kick's great, but he's hit up. He's one of the only players I can remember kicking to a chest in the forward 50 this year against Carlton. So look, forward line, look, maybe Sellers for Finbar, but I wouldn't dislike seeing Sellers. We've got no option but to play one of Sellers of Finbar. We just don't have any more options there. So, look, I actually haven't even got the teams up here, guys. But, yeah, that's sort of what I think I would like to see. More defensive from, like, the flank back. And let's move these guys out of defence, especially Bailey Scott. Move them up the ground. And once we control it out of defence, then we go and attack. Okay? That's what I would love to see. So, I'm going to jump onto the website now. Let's see if we can find the team lineups. I'm very, very excited for this. Someone came into the barbershop yesterday and told me they knew what the lineup was. And I was like, don't tell me. Okay, here we go. No, not team stats. Me scoozy. Okay. Disappointing. Very disappointing. Wardlaw and Hardiman in, Ford and Sellers out. Yeah. To be honest, kind of what I thought would happen. I'm disappointed in that. I'm really disappointed in that. We needed to swing the axe more after that pathetic performance. Wow, that's actually really, really deflated me. Oh, dear. Okay. So, you know, God, what am I going to say here? Like, glad we'll feel, okay, let's work through this. Hardiman, excited to see. Defensive-minded player. You know, first game, though, so I don't know if he's going to give us the edge we need. I would love to see a Bergman or an Archer in there. But, hey, Hardiman, excited for him. Good luck in your first game, young fella. Biggie, very lucky to be in this team still. Thought he was atrocious last week, but I guess we've got to give him an opportunity to bounce back. But if he has another, even a performance half as bad as last week, I think he's got to go. Bailey Scott on halfback, awful, hate him in the back line. Can't believe a coach of Alistair Clarkson's experience thinks that's a good idea. That's one thing I'd love answers on. McDonald, fine. Core, I mean, look, shouldn't get a game at all, but he's in the leadership group, so I guess that just means he's an automatic every week. Once again, not really setting standards there. You know, yeah, whatever. Charlie Combin in the back line, fantastic. Been probably our best defender, and he's only played half the games. But, yeah, really, really solid. Love what he's been doing down there. Don't know if I want to see him forward again, but you know what? Like, no sellers, I admit, it's fair enough, but to not bring another option into that forward line, yeah, I don't like the forward line balance, to be honest. Darcy Tucker, you know, kind of just does whatever on the field and gets a game. LDU was always going to be picked, but, you know, he's under the microscope. Spoiler alert, that bloke's under the microscope this week. He's the one I want a big bounce back performance from because he's been so average and lackluster. McKercher, yep, Lazaro deserves his spot. Sheezel, literally undroppable. Dersmer's an interesting one. I really thought that he maybe needs a bit of confidence down in the twos. If he has another nothing game, which has been every game from him basically since the first two, and it's harsh, he's a young player, I think he's going to be a star, but, you know, I think he just needs that confidence to go and take a few hangers, kick a few goals and come back to the level and be like, I can do this. PC standard, Larky standard, Zerha. I mean, he's almost just as under the microscope as LDU is. Really want to see some fight and some care. Mainly from LDU, though. Zerha showed a little bit last week, getting in a bit of a scuffle, and I don't know. Zerha and LDU need to step up so much, but especially LDU. Jerry, standard. Good to see Wardlaw back in. Shouldn't have been dropped last week or rested, but, you know, glad he's back. Simkin, oh, there's another under the microscope. It's all of our, you know, mid-20-year-old leaders, isn't it? Fisher, yeah. Phillips, glad he's still in. Dylan Stevens, 50-50, needs to step up, but I don't really think he's been that bad. There's other players that have been worse. Tom Powell, standard. Blake Drury, yep, played fine. I mean, last week was fairly quiet, kicked a goal, but, you know, has done his bit. So emergencies, Bergman, Archer, Greenwood. Those three should all be in for me. If I was going to pick, I would swap basically Bergman for Core, Archer for Tucker, and maybe Greenwood. Maybe Greenwood for Dersmer, just to give Dersmer a rest. They're probably the changes I would have made, but I'm not a four-time premiership coach, am I? Adelaide in, Matt Crouch, Elliot Himmelberg, Luke Pedler, Brody Smith out, Lachlan Gollant out, and Sam Berry out. Once again, don't really know many of those guys. You guys know how I'm like with other teams. Matt Crouch, good player, been around for a bit now. I don't know. The only Himmelberg I know of is at the Giants, and Luke Pedler. He can pedal back to the twos as far as I'm concerned. They're all the ins. I'm such an idiot. He can pedal back into the ones. Sam Berry, don't know. Gollant, never heard of him. Brady Smith don't know. So, Hardiman's debut game, Dylan Stephens' 50th game as well. Very, very interesting. Yeah, a bit disappointed with the with that, to be honest with you guys. Really interested to know what you guys think. Yeah, a bit flat after that. Let's tip the rest and get out of here, basically. Richmond 42 to Melbourne 85. Glad to see Richmond lose again. Close game to halftime, then the D's just came out and did what they needed to do. Now, I've just got home from a friend of mine's barbecue for his birthday, and I only watched the first half of Essendon and Collingwood. I'm going to go and watch the mini now, but I heard there was some big missed chances at the end for both teams, and it's ended in a draw. So, so, so funny. Big prime time ending in a draw. Everyone's unhappy. Just give us extra time, you know. Just it's not that hard. GWS Brisbane. It looks like it's not in Brisbane, so I'm guessing it's in GWS. Manuka Oval. Oh, that's the Canberra one, isn't it? Gross. Sorry. GWS need to bounce back after the loss against Carlton. Port St Kilda. Oh, I guess Port. I hate Port Adelaide, but I guess Port. Adelaide, North Melbourne. You know what? Quickly, let's talk about what I said on, because it's been a couple of days since I did that interview. I'm not going to change my tip or anything. I still think we probably lose by 40, if not more. But what I want to see out of this game, we need, as a fan base, we deserve to see fight and hunger. Now, those are things that people go, what even is that? You know, that's not football. You know what I mean? So I just need to cough again. Mi scusi. We need to not get belted. We need to stick our tackles. We need to show aggression. We need to show fight and desire to get that ball. We need to show decision making. We need to just show that they care. And that's all in body language, okay? Even if they don't care, go and pretend. It's that dire right now. LDU, if you're gone, Zerha, if you're gone, Simkin, if your brain's just not here right now, it's still down at Waverley. Look, just please, you senior players, you need to step up and do something for this club, okay? LDU, your stats look great, mate, but you're not fooling me, okay? Such low impact and awful body language. So I know how good of a player, not talking directly to him, he's not going to listen to this, but, you know, you're such a good player, you're so good. These games last year were electric. The fans loved it. And if you really want to be the guy that brings this team forward, and you're the Viney, you're the Viney of this team for like the D's. When you're 30, mate, you might be playing in a premiership. And imagine doing it here at North Melbourne. You know what I mean? It'd mean more than five Collingwood premierships. So those guys need to show fight, leadership, desire. That's what we want to see. We want to see fight and what we think, whatever's left of the shinbone spirit at this club at the moment, to be honest. Geelong Carlton, that's a massive game. I'm going to tip Carlton. I think Tom Stewart's out, so I'll tip Carlton, but I probably would like Geelong to win that one. Frio Bulldogs. Frio? Because it's over there, and I guess they need to bounce back after losing to the Eagles. Speaking of the Eagles, Eagles Gold Coast. Where is PFS? What is that stadium? People First Stadium. What stadium? Is that what the Gold Coast Stadium's called now? God, I hate the Gold Coast. Anyway, I'm going to tip the Gold Coast in that. Please, for the love of God, can the Gold Coast win that game? Hawthorn Sydney. Sydney will destroy the Hawks, hopefully, because I'm still sad that they made me feel like shit. Okay, that's it, guys. We'll leave it there now. I don't think we've really got any more to talk about. You know, I thought it was very interesting that there was no player interview after the game on the weekend as well. I don't like – it feels like they're hiding a little bit. Are they protecting the players? Potentially, but someone – the fact that I haven't heard from Jai Simkin this week as well, I think is really telling. If it was me, I would want the captain to do an interview straight after that game and rally the troops and the fans. An interview through the week saying that, trust us, we have this covered. We will be better, and we guarantee you we're going to fight this week. The fact that there's been none of that is very, very concerning to me. Clarkson doesn't seem like he's that sort of operator anymore, though, and I need to get some more insight in the inner sanctum of this club, because Clarkson needs to put an absolute rocket up some of these guys. But hey, we're going to see that in the performance on Saturday. So look, please, North Melbourne, please, if anyone who works at this club is listening to this on behalf of all the fan base, please. There was the Chelsea-Arsenal game, 5-0, go Gunners. Can we still win the league? Probably not, but hey. There was a fan that held a sign that said something like, I don't want your shirt, I want you to fight for ours. And nothing has rung more true with me after the week we've just had. You know, go and do it for the fans that turn up every single week, the fans that are like me, who haven't been to a win in 6 years, the fans who pay money for memberships just to watch garbage every week just because they love the club. Have a little bit more respect and concern for people like that. We're not saying be a better player. We want that, but like we're saying dive in head first into challenges. Go back with the flight. Just show us that you care, because we will be on board with you if you show you care. That's what North Melbourne is, right? So anyway, that's enough rallies. Marnie is the real, rally the troops speech expert. Anyway, guys, thank you for listening once again. Please support the lads. I know it's tough and everyone is hurting you, but please do it. We'll be back either Sunday or Monday, I'd assume, because it's a Saturday game. I'll get this podcast out to you as soon as you can. Thank you for interacting on all the socials. If you are watching on YouTube, please subscribe. If I get to 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, I can monetize this thing and just make the tiniest amount off it that I can put straight back into new gear and editing stuff and better lighting, and which will hopefully be able to get us more interviews with players and things like that. You guys don't have to pay anything. I really, don't want to make anyone pay for anything as long as I can. And you guys are the best. I've got such an awesome supportive fan base. Thank you to everyone who's sent some messages into me and Marnie this week. It's really helped us, because getting up and doing this podcast twice a week when we're playing like this is a little bit hard around all of my shifts at work. So thank you to everyone who's come in as well to the barbershop. I had two people through the week come in, and I've got a gentleman coming in tomorrow for a head shave. You know who you are. If anyone wants to come down and talk North at the barbershop, Black and Brown Barbershop in Mitcham, go to the website, request Josh on the website, and put in the comments, I'm here from further north, so my boss knows, and she gives me a pay rise. Who knows? Thank you so much, guys. Please follow us, watch us, love the interactions from all of you.